It has been a long week. We learned about the state's ongoing drought. We explored some lost towns in North Georgia, and we heard some sweet sounds from indie musician Kishibashi. But as we do every Friday, it's time to gather a group of smart people with us, kick back, unwind, and think about what the heck has happened this week. It is time for The Break Room.
The idea behind transportation companies like Uber and Lyft is to provide everyone with an easy, convenient ride. But it turns out that it's tougher for some passengers to get rides than others.
I bring you today the Greater Birmingham Humane Society's first ever cat yoga class.
I'm a millennial voter, and get me interested in voting. Okay, because it's like, I don't even know if there is like any point in voting.
Joining us in the break room this week, Jordan Stepp of the Athens Music Junkie blog. Hi, Jordan, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Great. Also in studio, we have Korean Daily reporter HB Cho, Greg Williams of the conservative radio show Greg's List, and a warm welcome back to the break room for Natalie Dale, spokeswoman for the Georgia Department of Transportation and a new mom. Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be back. It's been a long 6 months without you.
Yeah, it's been months and months. Well, our first topic is about a medical breakthrough that seems like it has been a very long time coming.
When it comes to birth control, females have 11 options, but males, exactly 2, and one of them is permanent. Shouldn't there be some male options by now? Come on, science, it's 2016!
Okay, scientists have developed a male birth control shot. It is almost 96% effective, but researchers put the brakes on studying it after the male subject reported negative side effects that included mood swings, altered libido, and acne. If that sounds familiar, it's because those are some of the more mild side effects of actual birth control that women take all the time. So should men be complaining about this? And we have two women with us, so guys, I'm going to go to the women first. I should say, though, there has been some complaints saying it was worse for the men, but in fact, in the male birth control test, 4.7% of men experience mood swings, whereas an IUD that women currently use, 5.2% of women experience mood swings, and it's kind of similar across the board. So, Natalie?
Well, the first thing that really cracked me up about this was, you've seen those commercials where they rattle off that long list of everything that can happen to you.
And death,
I was about to say. Some of them had death as a side effect, and they still went through with the research. This one was a headache and some crabbiness, and they stopped the research, which just goes to, when my husband gets a cold, you think his arm has been cut off. Men, sorry guys, you just can't hack it the way we can when it comes to some aches and pains. And so it's unfortunate that they decided to cancel or to call off the research when there's a great benefit here. And there really is a need.
Yeah. Jordan, what do you think?
I think part of it is the fact that this is just what women have been saying about birth control for ages, and it takes men complaining about headaches and acne and not feeling well before, you know, you go, oh, hey, maybe birth control has some side effects. And we're all sitting over here screaming, yes, this is what we've been trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. I really don't want anyone to experience any side effects like that. But it's kind of infuriating that it takes the opposite gender to bring this to the forefront.
Okay, guys, now it's time to speak up for yourselves.
HB, you go first. I want to see where you go, and then I'll follow.
All right.
Deal or no deal?
Deal. Okay. And by taking the deal, I'm gonna sound really horribly ignorant about this issue. But my understanding was that women also are trading menstrual pain with the side effects of the pill.
Oh, no, you still get a period.
It's longer. Is it?
I totally welcome your opinion, but I think the trade-off was actually pregnancy.
That's why I let HB go first.
Which is 9 months.
Maybe we should just not talk about this.
If we can't talk about it, we'll never get through it.
I was about to say, it sounds like men are being injected with estrogen for this birth control, right? So, I mean, they're basically taking on the symptoms. I don't know exactly what the drug is that they're being put in, but it must have something to impact the swimmers, if you will, right? The resilience of the swimmers. I think it's a little bit risky as well, though, because a lot of males, you know, they practice contraception, so they don't want to have a child, but that doesn't necessarily protect them from an STD. And so, you know, the more, the easier it is to not take responsibility, the more risky the behavior can be. So I don't know. Did I complain too much there?
No, no, it's all good. We got Stephanie Clark. We got a tweet from Stephanie Clark who says this the complaints over male birth control are, as she says, actually slightly entertaining. And then Sam Burnham says, all these moody people, men and women on Earth, and we're saying that meds are causing it? I think that's a rhetorical question there, Sam. Let's move on. We have at least one cat lover on the OST staff. He even walks his kitty on a leash. Sean. But that is nowhere near the strangest thing you can do with your kitty. There is growing interest, at least in Birmingham, Alabama, in something called cat yoga. A group of women met there to do yoga with their furry friends, and there was singing.
Everybody, everybody is a cat. Everybody, everybody wants to be cats. Meow, meow, meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Okay, so would you take an exercise class with your pet, cat or not?
I would never try to keep up with a cat in yoga. Have you seen what they can do on couches?
Yeah,
even dogs
are
like gymnasts, basically. So, no, I think it's a terrible idea. Bring your dog to the gym, put him on the treadmill, let him run with you. But you can do plenty.
I'd like to bring my dog to the gym.
That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
I'd like to let my dog out in the backyard, which is a dog gym. I work out with my dog all the time. It's called outside, on a leash, in the backyard.
This is the pragmatism of our new mom.
Yeah, I know. I figure it out so much. I just, you know, cats, they're bendy, and I bet they do enjoy yoga. The cats I know would sleep through yoga. So is this really effective?
Has your dog been jealous of the new baby?
No, but they're just starting to be friends. Okay. They're just starting to be friends.
Jordan, what do you think? Cat yoga?
Well, I think my cats would sleep through it, honestly. But yeah, I would totally do cat yoga as long as they didn't play the little
that
jingle
song
the entire time. That would drive me insane.
That's my question.
How expensive is cat yoga? Yeah.
I don't know, but we are getting a cat cafe in Atlanta. So.
Oh my God.
Natalie Dale just glared at me.
No, it wasn't me glaring at you. It was my allergies glaring at you. My allergies came through.
All right. Hashtag team dog. So let's move on. We have about 2 minutes left, so let's talk about a smoking lounge for women. We talked about earlier a women-only membership club for women who want to eat chicken wings without having men judge them. Now there is an exclusive lounge for women to smoke cigars. It's called the Smokin' Hot Ladies Club in Jackson, Mississippi. So what's going on here? Is ladies only becoming a trend? Let me start with the guys on this.
Maybe.
They are reluctant to answer.
Well, I mean, after the male birth control, I'm like, I don't know where to go.
What do we have to say?
HB, you take this first.
Well, why don't you take this one first?
Okay. With a little bit of trepidation. I'm sorry.
This is long silence.
Jordan, can you help us out here? What do you think?
I think that
would
it's
you
not
go?
Necessarily. Well, I mean, I'm not a smoker, so I wouldn't particularly do that. But I don't think it's a trend because there have always been kind of like ladies' nights and ladies' clubs that, you know, try to get away from the male element every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily see ladies only as being a new trend, but the fact that they're promoting this a little bit more and entering that more masculine space of, hey, we're going to go smoke cigars together. Yeah. That's pretty cool to me.
Well, males are usually the more aggressive species on a night out.
You and mean hitting on women?
Yes, I've heard plenty of horror stories from my wife where it literally is just a girls' night. They go out to drink wine and have a dessert, and they are hit on by strange men.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's
that's
a good
a fair point.
That's just a Tuesday afternoon.
Or a Friday morning at GPB.
Okay.
I don't know.
Nobody's hitting on you here, Greg Williams. My guest today, music blogger Jordan Stepp, conservative talk radio show host Greg Williams, Korean Daily reporter HB Cho, and Natalie Dale of the Georgia Department of Transportation. And as always, we want to say a big thank you to Savannah Coffee Roasters. They donate the coffee that we serve the guests on our show and that I drink. You can find them online at savannahcoffee.com. Okay, the City Council of Fayetteville, Georgia wants to build canals downtown. They're like canals that would look a little bit like Venice, Italy. But they commissioned a study. That study showed that project would not be cost effective, and that leaves us with a very important question.
Do you dream? Or should I say, can you put a price on your dreams?
Okay, so that is our question. Look, would you rather that your city council members always follow the research, or do we want them to sometimes dare to dream big?
I'd like them to be wise stewards of taxpayer money. And this sounds like a canal to nowhere, following in the footsteps to the bridge to nowhere that's been built all across the U.S.
Natalie?
I agree. If you're a private investor, if you're a private startup that has private funding, yeah, there are some great things that have been made. There are some great ideas that have come out because people dared to dream and because people said, people may not know that they need this, but I'm going to show them that they need this. And it has. But when you're dealing with taxpayer money, that's just not the way to do it. That's not the route to do it. We have, working with the Department of Transportation, we have studies for a reason, and they show what the cost benefit is. And if this says there isn't a benefit to the cost, then you're spending taxpayer dollars, and it's just not the best use there.
But I think there is a trend of these suburban cities in Atlanta wanting to have their own little downtowns. And I'm pretty sure Fayetteville residents are voicing that opinion of wanting to have their own little, redevelop their downtown. And out of the droves of those kind of very similar, bland, small town feel, you know, walkable, playable, livable downtowns.
Swimmable.
Why don't you stand down?
Will they charge 100 euros for a gondola ride?
Come on. Jordan, what do you think here?
Look, my dream of a downtown includes, you know, bike lanes and no potholes, not necessarily a canal. I get the idea that you want to dream big, but maybe not a canal.
We are in the middle of a drought.
My dream is also no potholes.
Okay, while we're on the subject of dreams, the dream for many voters for this election to be over is nearly come to fruition. We talked to some first-time voters earlier this week. They're not that excited to cast their ballots. Here's 18-year-old Taylor Stephenson. She is a student at Decatur High School.
For the past few elections, I've been wanting to vote in them, but I was too young, obviously. But now that we have two people that I don't really agree with on either side, it feels a little awkward for me to vote in this election. I just feel like it's just a back-and-forth argument between Trump and Clinton, and I personally do not think that's a very healthy relationship for our country.
Now, Taylor, despite her reservations, is going to vote. But I wonder how all four of you respond to somebody who says they will not vote.
I have this conversation all the time. And, you know, the top ticket race obviously gets the most attention. But in Georgia, we have four amendments that are very important to the future of the state. And the past couple weeks on my radio show, I've had experts on both sides of the first three arguments. The fourth amendment, basically, the fourth question is basically a tax on fireworks. But the first three are very controversial and very important for people to read. So I encourage people to make sure they vote all the way down ballot. There's a phenomenon called ballot bleed, and that's where the top ticket will have a certain number of votes. And by the time you get to some of the state House, state Senate elections, 20% of voters will have gotten bored with voting.
Which is odd because those are often the local ones, the ones where they have the most effect,
yeah,
actual effect on your
it's
life.
It's a bizarre phenomenon, but it exists, and it's really bad because those, you're right, the local government is the one that's going to be putting the canal in.
Right. I mean, to go back to Jordan, right. The president is not going to be fulfilling your potholes. Jordan, what do you say to someone who says that they aren't going to vote?
Well, I mean, my first vote was in the election for Obama, and I get the hope and the change, and you're not excited about this election or you're just dreading it, but you have got to at least look at the other measures on the ballot. You've got to look at the amendments. I couldn't agree more that it is so important to look at the other races, especially the ones that affect you on a local level. Even if you just get to the presidential one and, I don't know, write in my name or something, you have got to vote and have your voice. This is your voice.
Are there,
you
two
know,
P's
you
in
are
step?
Silent.
There are. And an E. But
you've got to, you're silencing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, this is the one thing that you can have in common with both the person on the street and the millionaire next door or whatever. You all have one vote. You've got to use it.
It's pretty passionate. Either you, HB or Natalie, you want to follow that up?
Even if you are staying on the, even if we're talking about the presidential choices, if you're not liking the two choices that much, that it makes you want to not just show up and vote, then send a message to the either the two-party system or the primary system that each of the party uses. And low turnout is not going to send that signal. Yes, do you know, maybe write something in or you know, do a third party. But even so, I think sending a message that you don't like this current system, we need to change. That's an effective way to, you know, send
and
a
show
message.
show up for midterm elections.
Yeah,
for heaven's
sake, school
board
elections.
Show up for those. Don't just show up for the presidential ones.
I'm just glad that this time next week we won't be absolved of the conversation, but it'll be a different conversation, and we can begin to just move on.
Hope a more positive.
We can start talking impeachment. Yeah. That's going to be fun.
Oh boy! If you're just joining us, we're hanging out in the break room. Oh God! Music blogger Jordan Stepp in Athens, Georgia Department of Transportation spokeswoman Natalie Dale, Korean Daily reporter H.B. Cho, and then conservative talk show host Greg Williams. Okay, one little more thing about the election. It's more about how to avoid the election. The Weather Channel has promised, quote, zero election coverage on November 8th. Its nine-hour chill marathon will include some very calming weather videos and music. So is that attractive to you? Would you go to a channel that would let you escape election returns?
I'm excited that the Weather Channel will be focusing on weather. I hope that the Food Network is also focusing on food the night of the election. We will obviously be inundated.
You're such a traditionalist.
We will obviously. I like to know what I'm getting myself
Maybe
into.
Maybe the History Channel should do history.
But they're going to go with history of elections, of presidential history.
There's nothing more relaxing than watching a nice hurricane video.
or
like a tornado, like an F5. I mean, that really chills me out when I want to watch relaxing
TV. Do some cat yoga. If you don't want to watch the election, go do some cat yoga.
They should go more indirect and poetic route. And if Hillary's leading in the opening the counting, they should show like a beautiful crumbling wall on a beautiful European castle or something like that.
What are they going to show if Trump's leading?
I'm not too sure.
A wall being built.
We're not going to answer any of this.
A beautiful work of architecture being built.
we're gonna not answer into that. Let's move on to something completely non-election related. There's new research out that shows some Uber and Lyft drivers discriminate against African Americans. The study was published by the National Bureau of Economic Research. It says in Seattle, at least, where they conducted the study, black passengers sometimes had to wait up to 35% longer for their rides.
There's a Uber X that's like 3 minutes away. There's an Uber Black that's like 15 minutes away. Should I just Uber X?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't want you to think I was being stingy with the Ubers.
So, representatives from both Lyft and Uber have told the New York Times their companies do not tolerate any form of discrimination. Do we think that if a driver is found to be discriminating, they should be fired?
I need more information on this just because, well, you, is it more, is it the name, because on this article that we're reading, is it the name of the person?
It's the name, and also sometimes the profile has a picture.
No, it's probably the neighborhood that you're picking them up from.
That's my thing. Is it geographical location? Are there Uber drivers who, for safety reasons, are avoiding certain areas?
I've been signed up to drive for Uber for more than 3 years now, and basically the address will show up to the driver. And that would be the – most Uber and Lyft drivers do it part-time. So they're not likely to just get excited about a fare that's picking somebody up.
Okay, but they controlled for area, actually.
Okay.
So it very often is because when you get the drivers see a name and sometimes if they've updated the profile, a picture as well. Jordan, where do you fall in this?
I mean, I don't really use Uber, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I've heard of some of my friends struggling to just get a taxi. So it's not really surprising that this is continuing to be an issue.
So I guess when they control for area, I think they control for the areas there the customers are being picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But when Uber drivers choose to pick up somebody, then they see the photo of the person and the name of the person, and they don't see where they're going, right?
Yeah.
So if your experience as an Uber driver tells you that if you pick up a black passenger, you're more likely to end up in an area that you want to avoid, then I think that's something. I mean, this the
maybe
result
although
of,
that's making yeah. an assumption that I think is a little bit
well,
dangerous.
The pictures of the passengers does not show up. The username will, and it'll show you what street they are and the estimated time for where you physically are to be able to go get them. And so, yeah. And I would say the driver experience a lot of times in the poorer neighborhoods, they want to go on errands, they want to go shopping, they want to go pay bills. So it can be a fare that you're basically just driving somebody around for 3 hours to pick up groceries, which is not a lucrative or profitable fare. So I would imagine that drivers have kind of done their economies of scale.
I think we have to be, be very careful. In
this situation, if several customers were rolling up to McDonald's to order and the person behind the counter asked an African-American to step aside and serve the white person behind them, there would be
absolutely.
No question.
Right.
And so we're seeing this in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thanksgiving. Let's move on to something which I know will rile up everyone. Thanksgiving, a few weeks away. I don't know if you guys have already started planning what dishes you're going to make. I certainly do a lot of cooking for Thanksgiving. One dish that I make, because three of my grandparents are from the South, is collard greens, and I bet it's on a lot of tables.
What have you got in that kettle? What does it smell like? Malodorous, fetid, and stultified.
You ain't even close. It's collards, onions, and fat back.
Okay, so if you are not in the mood to whip up some homemade collard greens, you can order them. Or you could from the apparel company Neiman Marcus. Their collards cost just $66 plus $15 for shipping. And at last report, at least according to NPR, they found out that Neiman Marcus is now sold out of their $66 to $80 collard greens. Would you buy them?
No.
Oh, God, no.
No. I just picture some, person living on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and they're like, y'all, I am so Southern. I got collard greens from Neiman Marcus. No.
And the Black Eyed Peas from Saks Fifth Avenue.
I mean, having just a retail Thanksgiving. On the back for being so authentic. You know? And it's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Neiman Marcus is making Whole Foods look like Costco with these prices. It's for the bargain collard green guy.
You can buy the full Thanksgiving Day feast for the low cost of about $500.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
Jordan, would you buy the collard greens from Neiman Marcus?
Oh God, no. I mean, they had little bacon bits in it. Who puts bacon bits in their collard greens?
Neiman Marcus.
They're wrong.
It's Bacon. It's French, actually.
Bacon.
Bacon. You remember Bacos?
Yes, Bacos are Bacos, great.
Bacos. HB, you haven't weighed in on this yet. Would you buy order food from Neiman Marcus, especially collards?
I've been saving up for 3 months to do my annual shopping at Gap for Thanksgiving. So no, I'm not going. I'm not spending at that scale. It's just crazy. I'm hoping the people who bought, who ordered the collard green for $80. Are actually YouTubers who are trying to find this so ridiculous. They're trying to do a taste test.
Oh, that's an optimistic
the
hope.
The Pepsi yeah. challenge with collard
greens. You're hoping that them selling out of these collard greens means that Neiman Marcus is in for a lot of being made fun of.
Yeah, guerrilla marketing.
It's a bunch of rich, sarcastic people who are buying these. That's a good hope.
All right, we have about 3 minutes left, and I want to go to this very last thing. Speaking of government spending, there is a city in eastern Spain that is fed up with all of the dog owners leaving their dogs waste around the city. So they are going to create a dog DNA database. Police will take samples of dog stuff that is collected by street cleaners to and analyze it, and owners have until December 31st to get their dog to a vet so that there can be a blood sample taken free. Those who fail to register their dog's DNA will be fined. What do we think about this? I mean, if you have the money, I guess.
If you start registering dogs, they're going to register guns next. Don't do it.
That seems extreme. But nobody likes dog poop on their lawn or park.
I've been to Europe many times, and I feel like the stray dogs is sort of like a European characteristic. Like you're like walking around Europe and there's like stray dogs
or
everywhere.
South America
or South Georgia. So there's a lot of stray dogs everywhere. So how do they know? I think that this is just a gimmick to get the people who refuse to get their dog tested to be fined. That's where they're going to get the real money here, is the people who are refusing this are going to be fined.
Oh, and then you're thinking the city's going to make money.
Yeah.
Because people won't take their dogs in.
It really is really high-tech way to address a medieval problem, really.
Right.
Yeah, I would hope that they would use it for some sort of, like, lost dog registry. You know, if they have the DNA on file and you lose your dog, then maybe they can find it easier. But that's just me being optimistic.
By tracing
with a 25% unemployment rate, Spain has a lot bigger problems, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, but you don't know. Do you live in that town where they're inundated? This could be jobs created, though.
So
I want to live in the town that's biggest problem is tracking down dogs by their poop.
Well, I know where you need to move then. We can get you that information after it's over. By the way, speaking of the collard greens at Neiman Marcus, Jordan, you complained about the fact that there are bacon bits and San Burnham tweets, I bet it's turkey bacon.
All the biscuits in Georgia had to chime in.
It's veggie bacon.
All right, we are out of time in the break room today. I want to say thank you to all my guests, music blogger Jordan Stepp, Natalie Dale of the Georgia Department of Transportation, reporter HP Cho of Korean Daily, and talk show host Greg Williams. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Let's throw this question out to our listeners, though, because I know how passionate many of you are about your food. Would you buy these collard greens for Neiman Marcus for $66 or maybe another price? Let us know. You can call us and leave a message at 404-500-9457. Tweet us at OST Talk. I am at Celeste Headley. For today and the week, that's On Second Thought from GPB News. One more thing. Next week is Election Day. Please go vote. Have a great weekend.